the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to cover verses 7 through 10. We have been going through the seven I am sayings of Jesus Christ. We have already talked about I am the bread, and we spent about three Sundays just working through that. Last Sunday, we talked about I am the light. Jesus said that he was the light. And so we talked about that last week. But this week, we're going to talk about another I am saying. And so I'm believing, if you haven't gotten there yet in your Bible, there is Sunday school. And matter of fact, Sister Marshall did an excellent job this morning in bringing the Bible study lesson. And so I just want to encourage each and every one of you, please take advantage of that. It is excellent teaching given by excellent teachers. Amen. All right, I've given you more than enough time to get there. And like I said, if you had trouble finding it, we have Sunday school in addition to Bible study on Wednesdays. And it reads on this wise. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this privilege, this opportunity that we have to gather together to hear your word. We ask, Lord, that you would soften our hearts and, Lord, allow our ears to be open to receive that which you have for us this day. Our prayer is that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers as well. Our prayer is, Father God, that we would not just hear the word and not apply it, but Lord, allow us to apply what we hear this day into our lives. Lord, let the word that we hear this day, for those who are saved, that it might make us a little bit better. For those who are unsaved, let them realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And then, Father God, we will be quick and careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. My personal prayer is this, is that, Lord, that you would decrease me. Lord, that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. Let the words of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let your words go forth and do that which you've purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. These and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name, and we all do say amen. And so for a few moments of the time that we have together, I just want to talk from the idea, the thought, the theme, I am the door. I am the door. Prior to answering my call to a pastor, I worked a secular job, and as that secular job, I worked as a detective. And as a detective, one of the things, one of my responsibilities was the execution and the writing of search warrants. And so a part of that was, and I was never really a big fan of search warrants, and you'll find out in a moment why I was not such a big fan of them, but part of my job was to write those search warrants. And so in addition to writing the search warrant, all that search warrant would require me to do is to take all the elements of my investigation, reduce them to writing, and then present them to the judge. And reduce them in writing in such a way so that the probable cause for the crime that I was investigating would be in that piece of paper. In addition to what those elements of the crime were in that piece of paper, I would then have to say why an officer of my particular training and experience would come to the conclusions that I came to. I would then, in that same piece of paper, lay out the items of evidence that I had recovered or the things that I had seen and the statements that I had taken that would cause me to believe that either that a warrant was required. And then I would have to lay out where this investigation took me or to whom this investigation took me to. And so in order for me to go to someone's door and get beyond the door, I would have to present this piece of paper to the judge, who would make sure that it would pass constitutional muster. In other words, the judge would look at all that I had written, all that I had recovered, all that I had experienced to all the people who I had talked to. And then he would say, okay, Mr. Evans, you have done all the things that you need to do to get this warrant. And then he would sign his name on the warrant. Hold on, hold up. I wasn't done yet. At that point, I then had to take this piece of paper to my boss, who would then take it to his boss. They would have to sign off on it. And then we would have to take it up to a bureau level, because we just couldn't go and just go and kick somebody's door. Then the bureau, if they said that it was okay, we would have to fill out what was called an operations plan. And so in that operations plan, I would have to say if I would have an entry team, if I would have an arrest team, if I would have a search team. And then along with those teams, I'd have to have a group of people around the perimeter. In addition to that, I would have to check and see if there were any schools present, if there were any childcare institutions around there. So that way, when we served the warrant, we'd be aware if there were any children going to or from school. In addition to that, I had to make sure that each and every one of those teams had a way to communicate within the group and outside the group. In addition to that, on the day of the warrant, on the day of the execution of the warrant, then we would have as many as 3 to 4 different meetings. The entry team would have a meeting, the arrest team would have a meeting, the search team would have a meeting, and then we would all get together and have another meeting. And so all these meetings, and then we would go there and set up, and you would see that everything that we did, we tried to do it in such a way that we had control of everything around that door. But the one thing that we did not have control of was anything beyond that door. Anything beyond that door inside that house, we had no control over. I just came by to let you know this morning that Jesus is the door. Not only is he the door, but he is not only the keeper of the door, but he keeps everything beyond the door and before the door. There is nothing that this door does not have control of. And so even though I wrote this search warrant in attempt to control whatever was beyond the door, Jesus is the door that controls everything outside the door. He controls the door and everything beyond the door. So if you haven't given up on me, if you haven't thrown in the white flag of surrender, just for a few moments of your time, and you miss the rest of the sermon, if you get this, then you've got the sermon. Basically, this is the point I need you to take home, that Jesus is the door that not only gives you access to eternal life, but he gives you provision for when you hunger and protection from sin, Satan, and the world. Man, that's a lot to say. But so let me say it again. Jesus is the door that gives you access to eternal life, provision for when you hunger, and protection from sin, Satan, and the world. So if you're taking notes and you are thinking that I'm using points, I am using points. And so the first point that I want to bring to your attention that we actually see in the verses is this, is that Jesus is the access door. Jesus is the access door. I'm not making this up. It's here in the text. It says here in verse 7 that then Jesus says to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Let me see if I can unpack this and make this helpful to you. Jesus has already given them a parable, those Pharisees and Sadducees that are there listening to him. They did not understand the first parable that he had given them. And so what Jesus proceeds to do is that he proceeds to break down what it is that he had said before. And so in his first parable, he had meshed the door and the shepherd together. Here today, in this I am statement, in regards to what Jesus says that I am the door, he starts to break down what it is that the door does. And one of the first things that the door does is that the door allows you access. Let me see if I can make this plain. In the verbiage of what we would use today, Jesus is the gatekeeper. In other words, he's the person who allows people in, wherever it is or what it is that you're seeking entry into. Jesus is the gatekeeper. He is the one who would, matter of fact, can I even go back a little ways? I might be dating, I won't be dating myself, but maybe I'll be dating you. But back in the day, there was a guy who would be at the door. If you wanted to make your way into a club or some folk would say a speakeasy, you would go to the door and then there would be a guy at the door and he would either open up the little latch or he'd be in front of the door and he would ask you the question, you know, what is the password? What is the word? And so if you didn't have the word, you couldn't get past that bouncer. You couldn't get past that man. And don't you know, Jesus serves the same purpose today. Not everybody is allowed into the sheepfold. Only those who have believed in their heart, only those who have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ are allowed entry into his sheepfold. He is the owner of the club. He is the guy who keeps the door. Not just anybody can, not just any old rascal can make their way up into the sheepfold. As a matter of fact, he says that all those who don't make their way into his club will miss out on everlasting life. And so Jesus is the gatekeeper. But even though he is the gatekeeper, even though he is the gatekeeper, sometimes he'll put you in what is called a waiting room. You know, we have several good souls who are working this Zoom broadcast. And during the Zoom broadcast, you know, we don't let you immediately in. But if you notice that when you log in, you go into what is called a waiting room. And while you're in the waiting room, part of the job of the gatekeeper is to kind of verify who you are or what it is that, why are you here? And so at some point they will let you in. Will they do that so that certain things won't happen while we're in the midst of our broadcast? You know, they have certain individuals called boomers who will, while in the course of your broadcast, they'll try and break into your broadcast. They'll try and break up the flow of your broadcast so that they might get their message across or so that they might mess up your message. But Jesus is the gatekeeper in such that the only people that can make their way, the only sheep that can make their way into his sheepcote, into his sheepfold are his sheep because he is the gatekeeper. And then you notice here, they talk about thieves and robbers. You know, you notice here that none of the thieves and robbers can defeat the doorkeeper. None of the thieves and robbers kick in the door. You notice that as you read through this, the robbers and the thieves have to make an attempt to get into the sheepfold in another way other than the door. In other words, the thieves and the robbers cannot defeat the door. Here in this text and in the surrounding scriptures, we see that there's only so much that the thieves and the robbers can do. Why? Because he who is the door is good at his job. Not anybody can, no one can overrun the doorkeeper. Not only does Jesus grant you access, but then he's also what is called a pantry door. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so since so many people now don't necessarily really know how to cook, so I might need to explain what a pantry is. Now, a pantry is a room where food and beverages may be kept. Sometimes you might keep some dishes up in there. You might even keep some household cleaning products in there, but it is a place where additional food that you couldn't get on your cabinets or fit in the refrigerator, you would keep that in that pantry. And the pantry would be a place where there is additional food. And so Jesus is just like that. He is like a pantry door or a door to a larder. And so Jesus is that door that you must enter into in order to be saved. So he is the access door. We must access him so that we might be saved. But in addition to him performing that work of salvation, he's also a door in which we may receive a provision. So he makes sure that not only do we have access to the sheepfold, but then we have access to food and provision. And this is the same as one being a pantry door. He makes sure that not only are we saved, but then the verse goes on to say that he allows us to go in and out of pasture. Basically, he allows us to move in and out of the sheepfold so that we might be fed and so that we might follow what it is that the shepherd would have us to do. But notice also one thing here, in addition to that, when he allowed the thieves and robbers, even though they cannot overcome the doorkeeper, the thieves and robbers may call out to certain sheep. And notice here that the door, while the door keeps out the thieves and robbers, if there are sheep that are not paying attention, who are not listening to the voice or listening for the voice of the shepherd, they may leave the safety of the sheepcote. A sheepcote is just basically the same as a sheepfold. It's basically a place where the sheep stay or where the sheep are staying secured. But while the door is there, the door protects those who are on the outside for coming in. But you notice that if a sheep is not paying attention, if the sheep is not listening for the voice of its master, it may find its way outside. And all I've come by to let you know this morning is that if you're the sheep of the Lord, if you need to be paying attention to his voice, and then oftentimes you'll find that when Jesus is speaking, you're not listening for a disembodied voice, but what you're listening for and listening to is the living word of God. And so in all the things that you do, listen for the living word of God and those who bring it to you. Amen. The sheep are safe and good. They are protected in the sheepfold. They have access in, and then they have access to pasture in and out, which means that they can go in and out of the sheepfold in order that they might feed. And that's part of the shepherd's job. Part of the shepherd's job when he leads them out is so that they might feed them. So the shepherd leads them. The shepherd makes sure that they can receive feeding or food. He then leads them back. If something terrible were to happen while they were out at pasture, it would be the pastor's job to defend them. And then if anything happened to any of the sheep, part of his job would then be to tend to them. He is to lead them, he is to feed them, he is to defend them, and then he's to tend to them. So at some point when that shepherd needs them to be protected, he'll bring them back into the sheepfold. And so in which case, I then talk about our third point. And the third point is this, is that Jesus not only grants you access and supplies your needs, but then he also keeps you safe. Jesus is the security door. Not only is he the access door, not only is he the a pantry door, but then he is also the security door. Verse 10 tells us that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and then to destroy. But he says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now we find that in the Greek, the word for thief paints the picture of one who takes another's possessions by fraud or by stealth. He is the con man who has convinced you with smooth and reasonable arguments to willingly give you his or give him your possessions. And you end up feeling bad, not so much because he has taken you, but because the person that you trusted has taken you. But then notice there are two other things that are going on here. Jesus doesn't just also talk about the thief, but he talks about the thief stealing from you, which means that the devil has always been a thief. The devil has always been a thief. We know that because when you look at the construction of this particular sentence, all the verbs are in the aorist tense. That means that they are in the past tense. That means that the devil has always been a thief. He is a thief, and he will always be a thief. He will never change who he is because he knows what his end is. And then because he knows what his end is, he wants your end to be the same as his end. That's why he seeks to steal your joy. That's why he seeks to steal your happiness. That's why he seeks to steal even your possessions. But I've come by to let you know that there is one who sits high and looks low, who has sent his only begotten son so that you might have access to the kingdom of God. And can I tell you that in the kingdom of God, there is never any lack. Jesus is the door that you gain access to all the blessings that God the Father has for you. And that's the reason why that you can't keep it. Jesus keeps it for you. You can't save yourself. You must allow Jesus to do that work that he's already done at the cross of Calvary in your heart. You must believe in your heart. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you shall be saved. You have access to the door through Jesus. You have a right to provision through Jesus. But as we continue here in the scripture, you'll see that Jesus acts as a security door. He says that there's a, not only does the devil act as a thief, but he comes to steal. The devil is not your friend. Don't play with the devil. He is, although he is a defeated enemy, he is still able to strike at you. He may not be able to cause you to lose your salvation, but he is able to make things very difficult for you if you refuse to walk in the light. Now, that's Wednesday's Bible study. But the point is that if you refuse to walk through the open door, through the access door, if you refuse to follow the shepherd as he leads you so that you might feed, if you refuse to follow the shepherd as he attempts to defend you, as he continues to tend to you, you'll be in a world of hurt. No, you won't lose your salvation, but there are so many things yet to gain just being a follower of Jesus Christ. The most effective thief is not the one who picks your pocket, but it's the one who cleans out your bank account. That in this case, the devil has come so he might steal the hope of your salvation. How many times have you heard the word of God and refused to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Even here and now, those of you who are under the sound of my voice have an opportunity to receive Jesus once again. While the blood is still running warm through your veins, please, ma'am, please, sir, make a decision for Christ today. But not only does the devil come to steal, to kill, but he also comes to destroy. Now, destroy doesn't necessarily mean that he kills you. Yes, destruction does mean that you may die, but before you die, there's some things that the devil wants you to do. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to make it so that all the good that you have done is looked under by a cloud of mess. You messing up maybe this one time. You may have had years of being a wonderful a Christian soldier. You may have had years of being an exemplary witness, but you know what? At some point in time, you messed up. You dropped the ball. You came up short. And all that good work that you had done prior to is now clouded by all the mess that has now made its way up in your life. The devil doesn't not necessarily seek to kill you. Yes, he wants to kill you, but he wants to destroy your witness. He not only does he want to kill you, not only does he want to steal from you, not only does he want to destroy you, but he wants to do all this so that you might miss out on the promise of eternal life. But what I love about this last verse is that the verse says, but I have come. And I love it when Jesus comes, because when Jesus comes on the scene, everything that is wrong is made right. When Jesus comes on the scene, then healing comes. When Jesus comes on the scene, then wholeness comes. When Jesus comes on the scene, and here in the text, Christ comes so that what? We might have life. Who is they? They is us. Can I just, the they that Jesus is talking about in this 10th verse are the sheep who have been saved. The they that Jesus is talking about is the sheep that are in this, who have access to the sheepfold. The they that Jesus is talking about is the they who have access to the pantry, that all their provisions are made. This is the they that Jesus says that they have eternal life, but not only eternal life, but that they might have that life and have that life more abundantly. That abundant life is that a life that you can live right here and right now. When you know that you're walking in the light, when you're walking in the light of Jesus, when you're following the shepherd, you know that you have access. You've been saved. You've been sanctified. You have the Holy Spirit residing within you. You have access to God the Father. You have access to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. You have access. But not only do you have access, but if you follow the Lord, he will make sure that your provisions are met. He'll make sure that you have what it is that you need. He'll open up the pantry doors and tell you to reach in and get whatever it is that you need. Do you need some joy? Reach in and get you some joy. Do you need some happiness? Reach in and grab you some happiness. Do you need some help? Well, reach out and take some help by the hand. But all that you need, he has made provision for. You may not be able to see it. You know what? Sometimes I may send my son to go and look for something that I know that is in one of the cabinets. And he'll come back and say, I didn't see it. Well, because I am the keeper of the pantry, because I am the keeper of the cupboard in my house, I know what's in my house. And though he might miss it, I know where it is. Don't you know that Jesus is the same way? You might be looking in the pantry and you might be looking for your help and you may not be able to see it. Jesus comes along and say, listen, my son, my daughter, here it is. You've been looking for it, but it's been right here all the time. You kept overlooking it, but it's been right here in your face. I've just come by to let you know that God is the access door. God is the pantry door, but then he is the security door. And don't you know that once he saves you, there's no demon in hell that can take your salvation from you. There is no man on earth that can cause you to lose your salvation. There is no one who can take from you that which Christ Jesus has died and given you. And the moment that you have believed in your heart, the moment that you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation is secure. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no one who can scratch it out. Once it's in there, and it's in there for good, you are his and he is yours. The Holy Spirit resides within you. The Holy Spirit becomes the seal of approval. Can I say this and then I'll be done? You know, there are certain animals that once they are owned by an owner, what the owner will do is the owner will take a hot iron, he'll heat it up, and then he'll sear it onto the rear end of that animal. Now, you haven't been seared with a hot iron, but you've been seared with the Holy Spirit. Not seared, but sealed. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means that no matter where you go, you belong to him. You might get lost in a field somewhere and you think that don't nobody know where you are. The Holy Spirit has a way of calling out to the shepherd so that the shepherd might find you. You are never truly lost. You might feel like you're alone, but you're never truly alone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within you. You're never truly lost because God never loses anything. He knows where you are even when you don't know where you are. And that's why I love God so much, because when I don't have the strength to do it, he has more than enough strength. When I don't have enough provision on my own, he always makes a way. When I can't open a door, he has the access key to any door that has been closed. And if he sees that I should not go through a door, he has the ability to shut that door and make it so that I can't go through. I thank God that Jesus is the door. Not only is he the door, but he is an access door. Not only is he an access door, but he's a pantry door. And then lastly, I thank God that he is a security door. That behind that door, when I find myself and the world is coming against me, when sin is coming against me, when people are coming against me, I can always go to the security door and he'll shut the door and I can call out to him and he'll hear my faintest cry and he'll answer by and by. I thank God for the fact that he hears my prayer, that he'll incline his ear, he'll move on my behalf, and he'll keep me safe when I need him. However, for those of you who don't know him in the pardon of your sins, you've never confessed. You have maybe a belief, but you've never confessed. Please, ma'am, please, sir, take the time right here, right now, to say this prayer with me. Father God, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You said that prayer with me and you believed it in your heart. The Bible says that you are saved. There's nothing more than you must do. I would just simply ask that you would let us know that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I would love to have the opportunity to reach out to you and just talk to you about a little bit more about what it is that you've done today. Please, ma'am, please, sir, if you're watching this by Facebook, you may make comments. If you are watching this by YouTube, please, ma'am, please, sir, you may make comments, and I'll be quick and careful to get back to you as quickly as I can. At some point in time when the doors of the church are open, the doors of this particular church are open again, because the doors of the church are always open. But it's okay for us to gather together again. And if you should find yourself somewhere over by 114 South Glendora Avenue in the city of West Covina, we would be more than happy to worship with you. Whomsoever will, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Accept Jesus Christ today. If nothing else, preserve yourself behind that security door. Make sure you have access to the door and see if he will not provide provisions for you through that door. May God bless you and keep you. That is my prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for that which we have been able to share with those today. We ask, Father God, that your word would go forth, that it would touch hearts and minds, that it would do that which you have purposed it to do, some to be encouraged, others to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Our prayer is that soul who does not know you in the pardon of their sins, that they would have said that prayer, that they have believed in their heart, and that they will have received salvation, and that at some point they will reach out so that we can follow up with them. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. We all do say, amen.